Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello, friends. We are back once again. If you recognize this ragtag group, then you may have seen or heard the first rendition of our very first, I don't want to say inaugural, that's a heavy commitment, but it's our very first, maybe our last, I don't know, comic book draft, SBC Comics draft. Last time I had my partner here, Remzo, of course, as well as supreme patrons, Eric and Jeffrey on, and we drafted a series of creators, artists, characters, and whatnot. And now we're going to present the companies, the universes that we have built around those very creators and characters. With that set up, Remzo, before I even go further, would you like to tell us who our show is brought to us by today?
Our show today is brought to you by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who only I was really hoping you'd give me like 2 seconds. Our show today is brought to you by...
You're the promo guy. You get no time off.
I'm going to be drinking. I shit you not. I'm actually looking at my wife across the room.
I just realized as we're about to promote our fantastic Fox & Sons coffee, it's somewhat ironic that I'm on camera for those watching on YouTube and drinking a sugar-free, mind you, a Red Bull. Now, typically, I would drink coffee, but let's just say it's a lot later in the day and night. I've already had my Fox & Sons. Something else is required at this moment. Anyway.
Yeah, Fox & Sons, go ahead and use our promo code, SecondPrintPod. I'll get you 15% off your order of $25 or more. Go ahead and support Jeffrey. I'm sorry. Go ahead and support.
Well, support Jeffrey too. Support everyone.
I mean, support. Jesus.
Support Jeffrey drinking Fox and Sons coffee.
Stephen Fox, go ahead and support. If you don't buy his coffee, Stephen can't feed his children.
The former promo guy, Eric. You recently got some Fox and Sons. Is that correct, Eric? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I did, and I used the promo code, and I must say the coffee is as good as you guys say it is.
And it's legit. The promo code worked, right? It wasn't.
It sure did.
Here, all right?
No fraud.
I know. A lot of people are thinking, yeah, I'm sure that's a real promo code. I'm sure it's really good coffee. This is legit. I think Remzo and I both agree. We don't like to promote stuff that we don't actually know if it's good or know what it is. This is a case where we have both had this coffee. We both drink this coffee regularly, so I have no issue telling you guys about it. And Stephen Fox, great friend of the show, a great supporter of the show. So check out foxandsons.com. Use discount code SecondPrintPod for, what is it, 15% off?
15% off. Order coffee or his children will starve.
Use discount code RFK so that Remzo gets a portion of the funds to go to fix his throat cancer.
I also recently purchased some Fox and Sons coffee using your promo code.
Which ones did you get?
I got the Brazilian honey blend and the Tanzanian tea berry.
Those are two of my all-time favorites.
Well, look at this.
I don't know how we ordered the same exact thing.
Because you guys have similar tastes.
I think I'm biased because usually when I read the ads, I'm always saying the ones that I'm drinking at the moment. It's always the Brazilian honey prep or the Tanzania pea berry. I mean, those are probably all his coffee is good, but if you want something, and my thing is always when I tell people about Fox and Sons, I'm like, listen, this is coffee you don't have to drink with creamer. Like, it's just so naturally rich with each one. So do yourself a favor, folks. Save children. Drink coffee. Change the world.
Right. That being said, now, speaking of changing worlds, we're not just changing worlds here. We're creating worlds. We're creating universes, multiverses, all sorts of things here. We're not going to go recap our entire drafts. We already did a 2-hour show, and I think 30 minutes of that show was a recap anyway. So if you want to know how we got here, if you want to know how we came to acquire these players, these characters and whatnot, just go listen to the SBC Comics Draft. Tick back in your comic, in your podcast feed, tick back on the YouTube, wherever it is you're checking this out. It's really easy to find. Maybe I'll even help you out in the show notes and link to it if I'm not too lazy. We'll see about that. But today we're going to reveal. Now we do have some rules here, some very minor rules here. We, like I said, we drafted writers, artists, and characters. So we have a few rules in laying out this universe. Now, we're all going to present 12 monthly books. This is kind of the core monthly lineup that we're going to be launching this company with. We're also going to be presenting 4 miniseries as well as 1 crossover event. Within that, I'm doing this without notes, so if I miss something, let me know. But I think I know this by heart. Every character must be used once, even if that's just as a supporting character in some book. You just basically have to use everybody you draft in some way, shape, or form. For each title you have, you can just give a brief description of what you're thinking about the book. As we know, Remzo already has some descriptions up because he sent us his whole list ahead of time, so that's why we're going to start with him. But for the rest of us, we're going to be surprised as we have these unveiled to us. As far as using artists and writers, I think we all generally agreed twice they can be used twice each. Is that what we said? Was that the final thing? But if they do both,
the writers can be used. Every writer and artist must be used at least once. No artist can be used more than twice. No writer can be used more than 3 times.
Okay. Except with the exception of the crossovers and miniseries, correct? Do we agree on that? Because that's like a separate thing. We're talking about real life, the monthly books. Okay, cool.
That's correct. Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much it. I guess someone, or we could all keep track of ourselves, or someone who really wants, I don't want to do it is the point. I guess someone should keep us all honest to make sure no one is overusing their, like, is no one's using a writer 5 times or something like that. But maybe we can.
I even added the number beside their names. I want to take the mic for a moment. Y'all gave me so much shit for casting Deacon Frost. And I got confused.
About was there an audition? What was this?
I mean, for choosing him.
Try out.
And for everything else. So much shit. Yeah, I was the most organized mofo on this entire thing. So when people start hearing all the shit that will come, because it will come, because the forces are against me, folks. I'm the underdog in the situation. Y'all got to back me up. I'm just saying.
All right, underdog. That being the case, why don't we start with you? Because we already have your whole list in front of us. So why don't you start by just going through your entire lineup, and we will comment when necessary, which I imagine is going to be often.
So as many of you know, and I'm going to try and keep this as concise as possible so I'm not meandering all over the place, I'm a 3 times published author. I'm a digital marketer by trade. So telling stories, getting story brands set up, having an identity is important. And I was the first person, remember, first in your hearts, first in the show. I was the first person to go ahead and unveil the name of my company last time, which you can
completely
listen to.
Out of turn. Yes, you did do that.
Well, I went ahead and did that, and I called it Revolving Door Comics. And I did that specifically because with a revolving door, because
the fans, you know, will be revolving in and out quickly,
in and out. But, you know, it also says something to the creative mind behind the stories and how I kind of crafted everything, because 2 people can be in a revolving door, but they're completely separated. They're in the same space, but there's only a thin layer of glass moving. And as they go around and round and round, sometimes you get trapped in those doors, you get disoriented, you walk through the wrong end, and then you're like, damn, I have to go through the revolving door again. That's the idea.
I was supposed to be really high to hear that.
Well, I wanted to go ahead and take the whole idea of a multiverse, and I wanted to do something different. So what I did was I went ahead and did what they did at Image Comics. They did this with Vertigo and with some of the other indie publishers that have controlled, you know, insular universes. I went ahead and created a world Bible. And what that basically is that it sets the conditions and terms for how your comic book universe operates. Valiant Comics is the world outside your window. So they try and remain more grounded, for stuff like Rocket and, I don't want to call them the Black Comic Book Company, but the guys that brought you Static Shock and everything, you know, when they went ahead and came out with Milestone, they went ahead
the Black
and
Comic Book Company.
Yeah, there's no other way around it. They're all black.
What do you call it? BET, the black station?
Yeah. So the BET of comics, you know, they went ahead. Dwayne Duffy, who started that and kind of corralled everything, he really made the idea of having universe Bibles popular.
Didn't you get blocked by one of the writers at Milestone?
One of the DC ones, because DC got bought by them, and they basically brought in like this Marxist.
Other way around, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure DC bought Milestone.
Yeah, DC bought Milestone, and they hired some Marxist bald lesbian to go ahead. And I'm not insulting her. I'm just describing her because she's a bald Marxist lesbian.
All checks out.
Yeah, like, and she went ahead. I was going to buy her book. I was so excited. I went on Twitter and I found her Twitter and I was like, I cannot wait for Static Shock because I grew up with the cartoon.
I want to tweet to you about this.
I want to tweet to you. It's like, lady, I think you're smart. I like your book. And she blocked me. And I was like, I've never done anything.
I think lesbians are kind of cool, actually.
So. I have no problem with, you know, I like women too. You know, we have that in common. You know, I have hair. You don't. Like, you know, we can get along with that. I was going to give her my money. Eric is just like, I'm going to get fired tomorrow. Like, how did this
get clearance?
Yeah. Like, I just wanted to give her my money and she gave me hate because she's a racist. I'll say that. So anyway.
Against Puerto Ricans.
Yeah. So anyway, here's my world Bible. This is how I set everything up. Two worlds exist parallel to one another. One where the vampire Deacon Frost has killed the boy Teth Adam, and one where he didn't. Frost used the magic of the wizard Shazam to take over one planet, but craves the counter-Earth, Earth 2.
Did Only you draft Victor- the wizard Shazam?
Yes, the wizard okay. Shazam.
All right, you drafted him?
Huh?
Did you draft the wizard Shazam?
Don't worry about that. God, I'm like two words in.
I'm just giving you shit. Go on.
Only Victor Von Doom, Sorcerer Supreme, can lead his team to this outcome of stopping Frost from completely taking over another planet. Meanwhile, on Earth 2, Teth Adam has become a ruthless killer and despot. The heroes of this Earth know there is no way to turn back the clock or salvage their world, but they can save their counter-Earth, which they are calling Earth-X, from suffering the same fate. Dr. Stephen Strange, master of the mystic arts, and unworthy Sorcerer Supreme in exile can make things right. So what I've established is you're going to have two worlds, and I've split up the 12 titles, 6 in Earth 2, 6 in Earth X. And they're parallel stories, but you're going to see is that this multiverse is not going to have like a one-to-one copy of each. And they're going to, you know, there's a time difference. One is more 80s. Blend. The other one is contemporary modern times. So who is in each other's planet? How time moves? Why is Teth Adam an adult in one planet and a child in the other? How can they move amongst each other? This isn't a multiverse where it's going to be clean cut, and that's going to cause confusion, especially when both Earths eventually collide.
So is Deacon Frost a good guy?
Deacon Frost is the bad guy. So,
but in the second on Earth 2, Teth Adam's a ruthless despot.
They both are. I went ahead and said that they're both dictators.
Okay.
But okay. You know, in yeah, one Earth, Teth Adam didn't get a chance to be that because Frost killed him and took his powers. And by you know, to answer your question about the Wizard Shazam, by the drafting of Teth Adam, he has to have his power somehow. So I'm not right, drafting right. him necessarily, but that's
you're
a
drafting the origin new. Story. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I did that. So I have my first 6 books, which are all based in Earth X. Earth X takes place more in like the 80s, whereas Earth 2 takes place now. So title 1 is called Victor Von Doom, Sorcerer Supreme. The main character is Dr. Doom, and his regular supporting cast are Ghost Rider, Danny Ketch, and Gambit. My writer, Jeff Loeb. My artist, Dale Eaglesham. The synopsis is that Victor Von Doom, who is yet to be disfigured, who is not a villain in this situation, is on a mission to avenge the death of his master, Stephen Strange, who was killed by Frost, and to save the world from the rule of Deacon Frost by any means necessary. So you begin to see that, you know, in this world, he is a Sorcerer Supreme. He is a hero. He's not yet disfigured, and he's already kind of ruthless. He will kill people. He's an anti-hero. He just, you know, he's not the stereotypical Doom yet. And I did this intentionally because if I'm putting all these characters from different universes and from different times and stuff like that, I wanted to go ahead and completely change who they are. As characters. So that way that expectation isn't just assumed. Title 2 is called Enemies of the State. This is an ensemble book. The main character is John Constantine. The supporting cast regularly there is Merlin, the Dark Archer, and Mystique. This is written by Jeff Loeb. And again, the art done by Dale Eaglesham. These mercenaries travel the ruins of North America searching for refuge and fortune and will work for whoever the highest bidder is. So this is kind of like Red Hood and the Outlaws that was done during DC's New 52. This is a little bit of Suicide Squad Thunderbolts, but with more of a, you know, mystical element to it. My third title is Fisk. You can assume who's in it. Yeah.
It's not about the last one. It's about the one before. What's the maybe did you say this? What's the role of Gambit in that title?
They're just like his lackeys, his sidekicks.
Gambit's just a lackey?
Yeah, they're just lackeys.
It's his boy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't really think he was main title contender. I just want him there to be there.
Fair enough.
And if you really want to know, I kill him pretty early on. Gambit, no.
Spoiler alert. Why am I buying this book now? I already know that the big damn
thing. Don't need to buy it.
I was buying it for Gambit, and now, you know.
Well, you'll love title three. Okay. I called it Fisk. The main character in this is Kingpin, and Deacon Frost is a supporting character. He's
the dictator of the universe, but he's a supporting character.
This is a comic of villains. Like, here's the thing. Like, I went really hard on the villains. I want you to see the villains rise to power. I want you to see how the villains get along with each other. So Kingpin is basically like Jabba the Hutt in this case. He's basically allowed to operate because he's useful to Deacon Frost. And Frost has no, you know, Frost doesn't like to do everything. You're going to see later that he's not like, he allows places to still have their functioning governments. He's just goes around telling people what to do. He's not like a total, like, you know, genocidal maniac like Black Adam is in the other universe. So this is written by Al Ewing.
The Frostverse, as you may call it, the better place. It's not as bad. He's like a more benevolent.
That's subjective. I think how you described it is a good way of doing it. Like, you still have some functioning government in some places, but they all know that if Frost shows up, they do what he fucking says. So I wanted this to really be like as gritty as possible. I thought that having Al Ewing write and Tim Sale do the art would be perfect. And the synopsis is Wilson Fisk. I had a typo in the document. Wilson Fisk rose from hired gun to slumlord. Watch the rise of the biggest criminal enterprise EarthX has as Fisk runs his empire in the shadows of the rule of Deacon Frost. So this is really much a Breaking Bad type of thing. This is the Sopranos. This is really like the criminal element of this earth. Title four is called Weapon Hulk. The main character is Red Hulk, and the supporting cast for this run is the cast of Enemies of the State, Dark Archer, John Constantine, and Mystique. The writer is Matt Kent, artist Tim Sale. Again, the synopsis is they're created to hunt down rogue metahumans and mutants. Thunderbolt Ross undergoes a demonic spell cast by Deacon Frost in order to become Weapon Hulk, with his first target, the Enemies of the State. So this is a Wile E. Coyote thing. Like, will he get them? Won't he get them? I like to have titles where it's like you get to see both perspectives of the same story. You're going to see that play later. So you might have some overlap between Weapon Hulk and the Enemies of the State story. They won't necessarily go like line by line, issue by issue, but there's going to be a lot of self-referencing, and I'm trying to build a shared universe here. So title five is called Agents of Hate. The main character is Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, with the supporting cast of Homelander and Berserker. Written, again, by Al Ewing, artist Rob Liefeld. The synopsis is that the state-sponsored enforcers of Deacon Frost, they're the state-sponsored enforcers, and Scarlet Witch has begun to wonder whether or not this is the type of life she wants to live after being in a battle with Victor Von Doom and deciding to let him live and escape. So this is a villain book in which Wanda Maximoff is having a crisis of character, and she doesn't know whether or not she wants to continue to serve Frost, but she knows that she's surrounded by all these people that can very easily kill her. So it's a choice story. And I think I haven't decided whether or not she's going to ultimately choose to be evil or not. But, I thought that was a good dynamic for a title, Agents of Hate. So title six, the last of the Earth X Planet books, is Curse of the Werewolf. I was going really dark with everything. I was going really serious and dramatic. So I wanted to have
Figure out who I'm supposed to root for in this. Everybody's either a villain or thinking about considering being a villain.
Yeah, well, this is very much like Age of Apocalypse, in which everything is kind of like turned on its head, or Age of X or something like that. I always like those books because it makes heroes bad guys and it makes bad guys heroes. Okay. So I like that dynamic because you don't know. And I'm hoping that with some of that symmetry, in which you're going to see some books like Enemies of the State and Weapon Hulk kind of mirror each other, that you're really going to wonder, like, who am I rooting for? But Curse of the Werewolf is with Werewolf by Night. Supporting cast is Cheetah, written by Matt Fraction, Jeff Loeb. I think Matt Fraction is really good at writing duo books. Sex Criminals was absolutely hilarious. So this takes a lot of inspiration from Sex Criminals, the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. There, it's not as serious. I have this one as more of a comedy. But the synopsis is you're going to learn more about the regular life of people who aren't in this like power struggle on Earth X. And, you know, the werewolf by night and cheetah, they live normal lives, but they have powers, but they don't want people to know about it. So you get to understand how they see themselves in this world where it's like, if you don't have power, you're going to be, you know, oppressed and bullied. And, you know, Werewolf by Night thinks that he wants to go ahead and, you know, join the enemies of the state and others, while his wife just wants to try and live as normally as possible. So now I'm on to the last six regular titles. These take place in Earth 2.
Before we move into these, I want to halfway through. This is a test. This is a quiz. See who's been paying attention. We're about halfway through your main books. I want to go around. I want everybody to name what book they are most likely to pick up off the shelves if they see it. Eric.
Victor Von Doom, Sorcerer Supreme.
All right, what did you see about that?
Doom is the Doom's the lead. He's Sorcerer Supreme. You know, I think that says it all.
All right, Jeffrey, what about you?
Yeah, Victor Von Doom.
See, I was going to say the same thing, but now I feel like I don't want to just be a copycat. Similar reasons, all about Doom, all about that hot Doom action.
Well, don't forget Gambit dies.
Gambit does die. That's true. spoiler alert. If I'm going to answer honestly, yeah, that's the book I would pick up, especially because I already love Doom 2099. So I love this character. I love weird takes on this character. And I think that him as a Sorcerer Supreme, as sort of like, cause in 2099, it's similar in the sense that he's in this weird, different kind of world, but he's kind of the same character, but it's flipped on the head because he sort of does become the hero to fight the greater villain. So, I think it's an interesting take. All right.
That was a little bit of my inspiration, as well as infamous Iron Man. I think that Doom has kind of had this reputational change where people like to see him not as like, you know, the traditional supervillain, but as somebody who is like, you know, like he sees himself as a hero. That was Stanley's that was his intention from day one. Like Doom actually thinks he's a hero.
Yeah. He is the champion of Latveria. And he's always been very legitimate about that. Now he's, yeah, shown some funny ways to show his affection and whatnot to certain women at times, but you know, haven't we all? So fair enough. All right, moving on.
I think people are tired of him being done dirty in movies too. So
yeah.
Well, got to root for him a little bit.
See what happens there. Stay tuned.
So the Earth 2 books, these take place on the other Earth.
So this is where Teth Adam did become the dictator.
Yeah. So some parallels I want to go ahead and bring up. In the other world, Deacon Frost killed a child, Teth Adam. In this world, Deacon Frost didn't even exist. And here's the other.
A world without Deacon. Say it ain't so.
Yeah. World without Deacon Frost. So Teth Adam was able to grow up into Black Adam. The other thing is that in Earth X, Stephen Strange was Dr. Doom's mentor and he dies. Whereas here, there is no Dr. Doom. And Stephen Strange he was the Sorcerer Supreme, but he lost his title at some point. I've always liked an unworthy Dr. Strange. I always think that always puts him in some good stories. Brian Michael Bendis used to do really well at that with New Avengers. So the first title is The Reign of Black Adam. Obviously, main character, Black Adam. The supporting cast is Zatanna and Blackheart. Writer, Matt Kent. Artist, Javier Salteras. The synopsis is to save the soul of his resurrected wife, Zatanna. So I went ahead and swapped Isis or Osiris for Zatanna in the situation, because his wife dies and her soul, it comes back in the spirit of the street magician, Zatanna. Black Adam kidnaps her because her soul is there. He had claim to her soul. So Black Adam, who is still a bad guy, has to go into hell and fight another bad guy for the soul of his wife, Blackheart. So this is just a bad on bad. What does it mean to love somebody when you're like the Saddam Hussein of the comic book universe? I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of blood and guts with this one. And Matt Kent knows how to write really complex people like that. I think that would be great. Javier Saltaris would do great at any DC book. I'm surprised he hasn't done that before. Title 8, like I said, with the, you know, werewolf and cheetah for The Curse of the Werewolf, I need some humor and stuff. So I went ahead and was like, I want a buddy comedy, because this is a world where you still have some semblance of like this authoritarianism. So you got to have some enforcers. Why not make them cops? The main character is Savage Dragon. The supporting cast is Bloodshot and Sin Eater. Written by Matt Kent, art by Matt Battaglia, because we've all seen Matt do Savage Dragon, Bloodshot, and Sin Eater. So that was my motivation. It's like, I know he can draw them, and they look badass. So there's a buddy cop comedy based on the streets of New York, because Teth Adam blew up New York. and rebuilt on top of it. And they're hunting a serial killer called the Sin Eater. So how I was saying earlier with like Enemies of the State and Weapon Hulk, that you're going to see like parallels of the same story sometimes, you're going to get that with the Irredeemable Dragon and Bloodshot, as well as Portrait of Sin Eater. One of the most messed up movies, but one of my favorite indie movies, is called Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And it's just like disturbing. It's like that Jeffrey Dahmer TV show. It's like, I want somebody without powers, really, who's just like bad for bad sake.
So these two series run like parallel to each other?
Yes.
Do you need to follow both?
You don't have to, but it's rewarding if you do.
Okay.
Brian Michael Bendis used to do that with New Avengers and Mighty Avengers back when he actually used to care about quality. And I thought, if we could do that for here, where it's like you're rooting for Sin Eater in one, or you're rooting for the cops in the other. It's like, oh, who, like,
Hickman kind of did that in his Avengers run as well.
Yeah, he kind of did that too. So it's kind of like
you
that.
You could follow just one, but if you had the complete picture, if you were following.
Exactly. And that's kind of the idea of this. So main character, everything is switched now, is Sin Eater. The supporting is Bloodshot and Savage Dragon, obviously. Writer, Chip Zdarsky. Art, Matt Battaglia. The synopsis is, like I mentioned, it's kind of like that Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. So this is going to be the most grounded series, and it's going to basically show what's it like growing up in Earth 2. And, how can this person without powers be like this vicious serial killer who's able to outrun Dragon and Bloodshot guys who should typically catch much harder villains and bad guys and stuff like that. Title 10 is The Mirror of Agatha Harkness. Hot Agatha, not Old Lady Agatha like we used to have. Supporting cast.
Old Lady Agatha is the real Agatha.
Yeah, but some retcons are gone. Okay, some retcons actually do work. So Hot Agatha.
At least it's not a woke Agatha. It is just a hotter, younger, same person.
Exactly. Yeah. Same evil, just hotter. Supporting cast is Black Adam.
Imagine if they did Black Lesbian Agatha.
That would be funny. So this is kind of like the Fisk book, in which, the big bad guy is seen in a supporting role in this one for somebody who's also bad. Written by Ed Brubaker, art by Javier Saltarez. Harkness is attempting to travel back in time to save her lover, Stephen Strange. So I have them as an item in this. But she ends up creating a multiverse of problems. This is your classic. I went back in time and stepped on a butterfly.
Agatha Harkness and the multiverse of problems. That would have been a great.
Yeah. That would probably have been better than what they came out with. But so basically this is more self-contained. This is the most self-contained book. And at the end of it, you see Black Adam is like, man, somebody's fucking things up. And he has to, go fight Agatha at the end. Title 12 is something a little bit different. What I like about Power Girl is that she's one of the few characters from the pre-crisis era that remembers absolutely
everything.
This is
your 11th.
Yeah, this is 11th. Sorry. I like the idea of Agatha. I'm sorry. Karen or Kara Zor-El having an idea of what the Earth she came from used to be. So I was like, what if something happened in the other Earth and she winds up in Earth X? So finally, we have a scope of somebody from the other Earth really calling out the differences and trying to figure out what's going on and how to get back home. So this is a Planet of the Apes. This is a Robinson Crusoe. This is Power Girl trying to figure out, like, what's the deal? How did I end up here and how can I get home? And this has Ed Brubaker for writing, but I love Power Girl written by Rob Liefeld, not gonna lie. So I went ahead and brought him for art like that. Huh?
You mean drawn by Rob Liefeld?
Yeah, drawn by Rob Liefeld, written by Ed Brubaker. And then title 12, the last of my ongoing series, is called Soldier No More. This is Soldier Boy, who's kind of like the main assassin for Black Adam. And his supporting cast is Dead Man. So this is written by Larry Hama, art by Brian Hitch. The idea is that Soldier Boy is Frost's personal assassin, but he, for once, is being hunted by the ghost of an old friend and his former partner in killing people, Dead Man. Why is he doing this? You'll have to wait and see. So this is where the hunter becomes the hunted type of deal.
Continuity error.
What?
Oh, what is it? What did you catch?
Title 12, Soldier No More, part of Earth 2. Deacon Frost does not exist. Therefore, Soldier Boy cannot be Frost's personal assassin.
Disqualified. Calm down. It's Black Adam on that. So,
Adam's personal. I'm going to change it for you. So it's
Thanks.
Valid.
Adam's
really, really helping, personal. Really helping Remzo through all this. It's really nice.
Like I said, people, the forces are against me. So right,
any more books in there you guys want to pick up while we're
one shopping? One note. I thought Dead Man was a circus acrobat.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
And then so, he dies, and he's basically kind of like a, you know, his thing is he can go into the bodies of other people and he solves mysteries. So the idea is, what does the guy who can kill everybody do when he can't kill somebody who's already dead?
But you said he was his old partner in killing.
Yeah. So in this universe, they were like a special forces Delta team.
So he wasn't a circus acrobat.
A circus acrobat. All right, so or maybe he was, and he just decided to go and join the army or something.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to use these circus skills to kill people.
Yeah.
All right. I'll buy that.
I'm digging. Obviously, you're going to tug on me with the dragon and Bloodshot. I mean, those are two of my favorite characters. Put them together with the mats. I mean, I'm buying that one for sure. And then, look, there's no way the teenage boy in me won't let me not see Rob Liefeld draw Kara. So I'm probably picking those two up. All right, you got a couple miniseries and then a crossover. Let's bring this puppy home.
Yeah. So for these miniseries, I usually like miniseries that are under, there are four issues or under. So one, you got to have a classic alien invasion story. So one is called Mark of Evolution. It has all of Earth X fighting against the invading force of the High Evolutionary. He thinks that Earth is weakened. They have a dictator. They're going to go ahead and, all team up to fight the High Evolutionary. Written by Robert Kirkman, art by Dennis Hallam, supporting is the entirety of Earth X. And the idea is, this is a classic alien invasion story in which everyone must unite with Frost and against the High Evolutionary. So this idea of, like, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, team up with Stalin to fight Hitler type of thing. The next one is Frost Must Die. I just wanted like a chase him, go get him, like see how far you can take this bad guy and see whether you can kill
him. I love how much this is Deacon Frost based. I love that you just branded the whole thing around this character.
Yeah, well,
I respect it.
Let me state this. One of the reasons why I wanted somebody who was kind of vanilla character was because people don't have expectations. You know,
you achieve that.
Yeah, Jeffrey was right in which he's like, well, Dead Man was an acrobat. And he's like, yeah, but you know, some of the things are skewed. And while you're going to get that with some of these characters and titles, you don't really have that with Deacon Frost. So my thing is, like, he's like my, you know, my carte blanche.
Very few expectations.
Yeah. So, and supporting cast. So the main character is Steppenwolf. You're seeing this through the eyes of Steppenwolf. The supporting cast are Dr. Doom, Etrigan the Demon, and others in Earth X. You're going to see them in like panels, some more supporting than others. Written by Robert Kirkman, art by Steve Epting. Doom summons two demons to go kill Frost at all costs. This is basically the story of John Wick 3, in which it's just people just hunting him down the entire time. You're going to see if they can actually take down Frost, who has the power of Black Adam. So he's a vampire and that. So just a reminder. The third one is really like the biggest of the miniseries. This is called Earth X. And I wanted this Earth to be inspired.
Well, at least that's what you put.
Yeah, Earth 3. So one second.
I know, I'm choking on it too. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Earth 3. The main character is Omak. This is a Secret Wars inspired story. And this has the entire cast of Earth 2 and Earth X. Writer Robert Kirkman, art by Steve Epting. I like to pair my guys. I think there's a lot of symmetry when you can pair writers and artists across multiple titles.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Which is why you see that's
that like as pairing kind of a steak and a red wine.
Exactly. So the idea is the mysterious and unbeatable being Omak summons every character that we've introduced onto Earth 3. This like empty place with nobody, and they must defeat him if they want to return home. This is a Beyonder type of story in which he's like, I just want to see if anyone can beat me because he's bored type of deal. And then you've got the fall of Stephen Strange. The main character is Dr. Strange. The supporting cast is Doomsday, others in their Earth, as well as Black Adam. And the idea is this is going to be one of the first prequel stories introduced. This is the only prequel story. The writer is Ed Brubaker. The art is by Dennis Hallam. the idea behind this is we learn finally why did Doctor Strange on this earth become unworthy of being the Sorcerer Supreme. And the reason why is because he summoned Doomsday from another earth. The wink is that he pulled him from the DC universe and he wanted him to fight Black Adam. But the thing is that that didn't work out. Instead of going and fighting Adam, Doomsday just goes around killing people. And everyone is like, Steven, you screwed up, man. So in order to basically defeat this monster that Strange brought in order to stop all the killing, is they've got to get Black Adam to work with them to do it. So this idea that Strange made things worse is ultimately, this is a story of how he becomes unworthy. And if there is an order to any of these, you know, Fall of Stephen Strange, Frost Must Die, and Mark of Evolution all come before Earth 3. Earth 3 leads directly into my major crossover event, the industry showstopper finality. This is the Avengers Infinity War endgame of the whole thing, in which you see everything mainly through the eyes of Deacon Frost, kind of like how you saw it through the eyes of Thanos in the Secret Wars. This has every character, and it's written by Al Ewing, art by Brian Hitch. And the idea is after they defeated OMAC, OMAC had his own Infinity Gauntlet, and Frost is like, huh, I can go ahead and remake the world in my image by merging Earth 2 and Earth X after he's finally seen all these other characters and stuff like that, these other worlds. So at the end of it, you know, you can assume that Frost gets beaten, but here's the thing. You've grown to like and understand the motivations of Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom earlier in the story. You know, the big overarching thing is that Strange, through all these stories, becomes more worthy and Doctor Doom becomes less worthy. And in the Mark of Evolution story, Doom gets disfigured and has to wear a mask. So now it's like, you know, the worthy has become the unworthy has become worthy, and you have to decide, like, you know, only one Earth will live at the end of this. There is no combining. There is no, you know, post-Jonathan Hickman Secret War thing. I want people to understand at the end of this, Strange and Doom must fight to see which Earth lives and which Earth dies, or they will all perish together.
I have a question. Why is it Earth 2 and Earth X and not like, was there ever Earth 1?
Because who's ever going to say that their Earth is the second Earth?
Well, someone's being called second Earth.
Because I was thinking, like, will they both call each other Earth 2? But what what will the readers refer to them as? So I was like, I'm just going to call
that's
one.
What I'm worried about. It might be a little confusing.
They each think that they're Earth 1. So I was like, I'm going to have one Earth referred to
it's
as
like
Earth
2. It's like the twins in Invincible. They each think they're the original.
Exactly. It's kind of that. So, yeah. That's it. That's everybody.
All right. Who wants to give some more general thoughts before we move on to the next universe?
So I thought this was very creative.
Considering the, you know, I don't want to call them handicaps. I mean, it's your draft, but considering what felt like a thin roster going in some ways, let's put it that way. I got to say, there's a lot of interesting stuff in here for having a, I think what you did strategize once you made the Frost leap, we might call it, that you went with sort of darker, more macabre characters and whatnot and sort of catered a universe around that idea. So I think it's pretty interesting. My concern as a fan, if I was learning about this universe and thinking about, oh, should I dive into this? I would be a little hesitant by the, there's already two universes thing. I think that would give me a little bit of pause. I might be a little bit confused. Is this title and that? Are you going to brand them differently? Are you going to have a marker on them? Like this is.
Yeah. So it's going to be like how Marvel used to do things with the Ultimate Comics. One will be Earth 2. The other will be Earth X. And up until.
I feel like fans are going to want Earth X because the branding sounds cool.
Yeah. And then because they're completionists and they're addicted to this, they're going to go ahead and buy all the Earth 2 stuff.
It's going to be so fucking good. You're going to be like, you want more? You got to come to Earth 2.
I don't know, man. There's no Deacon Frost in Earth 2. Why would I want to ever buy
that? That's a good point. That's why it's Earth 2.
I appeal to the Frost and the non-Frost audiences.
All right. Well, one thing I learned is that this is going to be a long podcast. So why don't we just move on to who wants to go next? Do you guys feel like listening some more?
Which of the limited series like sound like jumped out? I just want to know.
Like, the Strange one for sure.
Yeah.
Just one question. OMAC. That's OMAC.
OMAC.
The fictional race. The fictional race of cyborgs.
Yeah. They've transcended.
That's a Beyonder level threat.
In this universe, it is.
In the world where Deadman was never in the circus, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
What can you like? What can I say to that?
That was around the point where I was like, "Fuck! I'm running out of people." Because I had my, I thought about like that was probably, in my opinion, the Earth 3 one was like my weakest. But I'm like, you know, I thought that the Beyonder and Earth 3, I thought that the Beyonder and Secret Wars was stupid. And I'm like, I might as well just have fun with it. So I just was kind of like, you know, Omax, my leftover, I can make him as vague as and ambiguous as possible. I can make this work.
All right. Who wants to go next? Or do you want me to go?
I can go next.
All right, Eric.
I have no problem.
Let's hear it.
So, name of my comic book company is ES Comics. ES stands for Electric Sheep. It is named after one of my favorite sci-fi books, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? So,
very good.
The theme of that will come through in some of these books, I hope. So, first title, kicking it right off with my marquee character. Name of the book is Web of Spider-Man. This is my favorite version of the Spider-Man books. It had a little bit of a darker, grittier feel. Obviously, the main of this is Spider-Man. The villains are going to be a cast of characters, Venom, Hobgoblin, Bullseye, and then the two that I took after draft, Ross and Talia al Ghul, who are going to play a major part in my universe. This is going to be written by Donny Cates and Brian Stegman. Overview. This is going to be a little bit of a different take on Spider-Man. Following the adventures of Peter Parker as he takes up the mantle.
Sorry, who are your creators again?
Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman.
Okay, got it.
So they wrote the Venom books, and I thought they were very well done with that pair. So quick overview. Follow the adventures of Peter Parker as he takes up the mantle of Spider-Man following the mysterious stabbing death of his parents.
Who killed his parents in this universe? Do we got to wait for that?
We're going to find out. You just have to wait until I get to my minis.
Right, fair enough.
But you are going to find out.
All right.
Next title is a team up. This is called Lantern Gods. This is a main story of Green Lantern and Thor. Villains are going to be Galactus, Annihilus.
Which Green Lantern you had?
This is Hal Jordan. Okay. This is the one that you did not like. You did not like my pick.
Okay.
So villains are Galactus, Annihilus, and Mephisto. This is going to be written by Green Lantern pair, Ron Mars and Daryl Banks, who teamed up before on Emerald Twilight. You were asking before who those people were, Mark. So that's who they are.
I was.
You did. Yeah, you're like, I have no idea who Daryl Banks is.
I know who Ron Mars is, but yeah, I didn't know Daryl Banks.
So here's the overview. This is the team up you didn't know you needed. After a cosmic explosion, Hal Jordan wakes up in a new world, slowly realizing he has been transported to a new universe and rescued by Thor Odinson. So we're going to follow their adventures through the cosmos as they try to get Hal home.
It's like a cosmic lethal weapon.
Exactly right.
All right, I'm in. But no black guy.
I mean, it's a big universe,
wow, that
right?
Escalated quickly.
Which one's Danny Glover? That's
awesome. It's a big universe.
All right.
It's a big universe. Jeez.
All right,
coming down on my ESG score already. Let's bring that puppy up with the next book.
All right.
We've got Spawn Dreamscapes.
Ooh, interesting.
So main character is Spawn. Secondary lead is Dream of the Endless. Villains in this book, obviously Violator, Mephisto, Scarecrow, and Saint of Killers, who's from Preacher. Writer is going to be Scott Snyder. The artist is Greg Capullo. And this is going to lead into a mini that I'm going to cover a little bit later, but since we're going through mains first and then minis later, we're just going to go with this. Following the collapse of the boundary between the awake and sleep realms, Dream taps Spawn to help track down the supernatural threats that have been corrupted by the powers of hell.
Very interesting premise.
There we go.
I like this combo. All right.
All right. Title 4. Going on to Preacher. Main is obviously Jesse Custer, and the secondary is going to be Dream. So you're going to see Dream in my Dreamverse combination here. This is Dreamverse.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Like Electric Sleep. Electric Sheep. So villains, Saint of Killers, and then Ra's and Talia al Ghul. Writer on this book is going to be Neil Gaiman, and artist is Bill Sienkiewicz.
Interesting combination.
This is kind of like a dream. It's kind of like a dream pairing for me. I think that'd be fantastic. So overview of this book is Jesse Custer begins his journey again, searching for the one true God, while avoiding old enemies, Saint of Killers, and new ones, trying to win his favor in the Al Ghuls.
All right.
Next up is titles Weapon X. We can guess who the lead is here. This is going to be Wolverine. Villains are going to be Venom, Bullseye, Ra's and Talia al Ghul, and Mephisto.
These Al Ghuls are everywhere.
They are everywhere. They're playing a major part in my street level hero universe. Okay. The writer of this book is Chris Claremont, and the artist is Joe Quesada, who does a pretty mean Wolverine.
When's the last time Joe Quesada drew something?
Like I said during the draft, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm not questioning your integrity. I'm just having a casual conversation here.
It was amazing.
He was one of my favorite artists in the early 90s. I loved him. I jumped over to Valiant because of his him being on Ninjak.
Yeah, it was. Rems was right. It was ASM. He did a couple covers back in like 2022. So last year, I saw a couple covers from him.
He hasn't been on a regular book in probably.
It's been a couple of years, I think.
So he did Amazing Spider-Man during the One More Day storyline back in Black. I think at that point, that's when they, 2008, 2009.
It's been a long time then.
Yeah, because he was editor-in-chief, so he was putting himself on all
his... Hey, dude, I'm the one that has Alan Moore on my team, so I'm not questioning. We agreed if they're alive, they can go to work, damn it. If they're alive, there's a check big enough, and we got the check. So
Exactly right.
In this universe. Why bind ourselves financially in a fantasy universe, you know?
Exactly right. It's all make believe, funny money. I'm paying them with the made up Bitcoin.
Just like who knows. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So the overview for this book is Wolverine is a hunted man. Having escaped the Weapon X program, he is on the run to find himself and get answers. We find out about his dark past under the program as he pieces himself together. So all of the villains in this are from his past, and we're just trying to figure out who he is, and he's trying to find that out as well. We can hear all the sound effects, Mark.
I like it.
All right. Next book is Xavier's Angels.
I like that. I like how you didn't even call them Charlies, even though you could have because he's Charlie.
Clever.
I like it.
Exactly right. Oh, I could have done that too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Now it's Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. Charles's Angels. Xavier's Angels. So mains in this are Professor X, obviously, Psylocke, Jean Grey, and Wonder Woman.
This is the teenager's dream here.
Yep.
Take villains, my money.
Villains in this book, Sebastian Shaw, Harley Quinn, Madeline Pryor, and Talia al Ghul.
All right. I like it.
Writer is Chris Claremont. Artist, none other than Jim Lee.
Oof. Good luck with those deadlines, my friend.
You know what?
But you got it. I mean,
the cover price is already $5.99, isn't it?
I'm already in, by the way, for the cover, the spread page that I'm sure will be in there.
That is exactly right. So follow the X-Angels Detective Agency as they investigate mutant supernatural crimes led by Professor X. Follow Jean, Betsy, and Diana as they circle the world fighting these threats.
All right. We're halfway through. What are you guys picking up? There's a couple. This is tough.
That one. I mean, it was a tie between Lantern Gods because you made two characters who I'm usually not interested in individually. Yeah. Sounds really compelling. I like the dynamic of that. It's kind of like what I was doing with Power Girl, you know, following like this Planet of the Apes thing that, you know, the one person lands in another place and it's going to be their journey of finding out. I like that one. But Xavier's Angels top that. Characters alone. I'm vain. I don't hide it.
Teenage, never touched a woman, me, I was 13, calm down, would definitely be all over Xavier's Angels, and I still might be, to be honest, but I'm very intrigued by this Neil Gaiman and Bill Sienkiewicz combination on Preacher. So I think I would have a hard time not, if I'm only picking one, which I would probably pick more than one out of this in reality, because these are pretty interesting.
But I would pick, that would be the one I would just, I would have to check out just because of that combination alone and that combination on that character. I mean, there's so many interesting clashes there that I would be too intrigued to leave it be. Jeffrey, what about you?
I like the Lantern Gods, the Neil Gaiman Preacher, of course, and of course, Xavier's Angels.
Yeah, we all agree we're picking that up. All right, let's just admit it and move on. All right.
Everyone's pull list.
That
redefines the word pull list, but going on.
That's the Vampirilla of my my universe. Yeah. All right. So the next one is a take on a older group. This is called Midnight Suns.
Okay.
This is going to have main characters Erica Slaughter, Blade, Ghost Rider. This is Johnny Blaze and Moon Knight. That is my version of Midnight Suns. Villains are going to be Venom, Scarecrow, Mephisto, Violator, and Hobgoblin. This is going to be written by James Tynion, so it's going to be written in that Something is Killing the Children kind of vibe. And the artist is going to be Jim Starlin.
Interesting.
So he has done some...
He's alive? Yeah, we talked about this conversation.
He is alive. We did. You asked me about most of my other...
Update, is he still alive? Because that was 2 months ago.
Still alive, according to Google.
He is still alive, but that was not the rule. It was live at the time of the draft.
Okay, fair enough. Once he's been drafted. So.
Yeah, but back in the day, he used to do some Man Thing, and he's
74 years old. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. He looked fantastic. For
doesn't look a day over in Vincent Thanos.
He looks like fucking Walter White right now. I'm looking at pictures of him.
He does. Yeah.
I like it. Good look for him. All right.
All right. So, overview. A new team rises to fight the forces of evil. Join the team of Erica, Blade, Johnny, and Mark as they take on the minions of Mephisto in this horror-inspired reboot.
All right. I like it.
Mark Spector.
Got it.
Who is still currently Moon Knight.
Claire. Got it.
Well, you could be you too.
Maybe.
Be Moon Knight in the year again. Don't worry. Just like Frank Castle will come back.
Switching gears here. Next big book is Vader.
Oh yeah, I forgot you drafted Vader.
I did draft Darth Vader. So that is my main character of the book. The villain in this book, or whomever, is everybody else. Writer, Scott Snyder. Artist, Greg Capullo. This is going to be a dark, gritty, nasty book.
How does Darth Vader fit into your universe? Does he come
You'll
over
find out.
Earth?
You'll find out. Don't worry about it. We'll find out a little bit later.
And he can't tease me a little bit to pick up the book?
No, you'll find it. I'm going to tease you. I have a whole overview.
What if okay, so.
Wrote a whole overview.
So let's hear it.
Yeah, Eric, smack it.
So,
why did nobody draft Warrior?
You know, I thought about it. I'm still waiting for that Patreon inspired.
It's our next thing. It's our next thing we're gonna do.
All right.
Anyway, we need 5 more ongoing titles.
All right. So reimagining the Star Wars universe to fix time continuity issues and dive deep into Anakin's descent and rise into Darth Vader. Follow the Empire's rise to power through the brutality of Vader.
Dig it.
So this is going to fix all the continuity errors I find in the Star Wars universe.
Are you telling me Disney doesn't care about continuity?
I've never bought that the rebellion rose after a whopping a galactic rebellion rose after 10 years of the Empire being in charge. I don't buy it.
Yeah, it's not enough time.
It's not.
Because we hardly had a honeymoon period.
Right.
Because at first the Empire was cleaning up the shit, or at least that's what it seemed like. You know?
I agree. I never bought it. This is going to fix those issues for me.
And no one ever wants to say that like the Mon Calamari are like the Mossad of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
But I'll say it.
But if someone says it. All right.
So here's, all right. So moving on. Next book is The Dreams of Children. Going back to my core premise here.
Sounds quite.
So this is going to be, main character is Erica Slaughter. Little play on the, her original title, and secondary character is Dream. Villain are the duplicatypes, which are from Something is Killing the Children. I think those are fairly generic. Don't think I need to draft those. Nah. And the villain is Mephisto.
All right.
Writer on this book is going to be Jeff Lemire. And the artist is going to be Mark Bagley.
Interesting.
So again, this is following the collapse of the barrier between the wake and sleep realms. The Order of St. George, which is something that's going on children. The Order of the St. George's job has become more difficult. Erica Slaughter has taken up the mantle of the head of the Black Masks and must decide which towns to rescue. Can she put the differences aside with the other masks to continue contain the threats arising from the dreams of children?
Dig it.
All right. Moving on. Next book is Blade.
Next time we're going to do half as many books.
Yeah.
Just
I'm doing my best to move.
Oh, you're doing great. You did this. You can go.
Doing my best to move through this. Next book's Blade. Main character's Blade.
Huh. Not Deacon Frost. What are you going to do with Blade without Deacon Frost? That's what
I got to fix for it.
Answer the so Frost verse.
The villains here are going to be vampires, Bullseye, Hobgoblin, and the all-new, all-different character.
Don't say it.
Feekin Drost. All-new, all-different. No one's ever heard of this guy before. He's crazy.
Original for like character. 2 seconds, I thought you were going to say Dracula. I at least like the attempt.
Too. I did too.
No, there's no Dracula in this book because I avoided Dracula because I felt kind of cheap.
You don't say.
So, writer on this one is going to be Joshua Williamson because I need some stuff banged out.
Yep.
Artist on this is going to be Joe Quesada. Overview. The vampire hunter rises. After being converted by the all-new, all-different vampire leader, Feekin Drost, Blade seeks his revenge to rid the world of vampires. Will he succeed? So, boom.
The real question here is how many other titles does Feekin Drost appear in?
That's what I... Yeah.
That's the
or
only.
Is there an alternate universe where he's the dictator?
No, that's the only one because he's not a very popular character.
All right, what else we got?
Does he die as soon as Gambit dies in my?
I don't have Gambit in my universe. All right, so I got two more mains. So my next one is just entitled Dream. So this is Dream of the Endless's book. Villains can be Mephisto and Saint of Killers. Writer and artist, once again, Neil Gaiman and Bill Sienkiewicz. Pairing them up again. I just love that combo. I don't know if they've ever worked on a book together, but if they did, I need to find it. And again, following the collapse of the boundary between the awake and sleep realms, Dream works to repair the rift and restore the delicate balance between the worlds.
All right, we got one more main title.
One more main title is called The Syndicate. Mains in this are Ra's al Ghul, Talia al Ghul, and Sebastian Shaw. The writers, James Tinian, artist Jim Starlin. And overview. The world is not run by the known powers. Rather, a shadowy organization known as the Syndicate wants to bring a new world order to the universe. See the inner workings of the organization through stories from the three heads. So this is going to be the three heads telling their stories of how they rose to power to rule the world.
Very Godfather.
Thank you.
Dig it. All right.
So those are my...
The minis. Then we'll do our picks.
All right. So here's the minis. So the first mini is actually a two-part miniseries. So this is going to take care of two of them.
Okay.
This one is going to be called Broken Dreams. The main characters in this are going to be Dream of the Endless, Midnight Suns, and Spawn. Primary villain here is Mephisto. The writer on this is going to be Scott Snyder, and the artist is Ryan Stegman. Overview here. And the first part is called Shattered Dreams. So a little Gold Dust reference here, Mark.
There you go.
This will introduce the universe to the main books that I all reference as happening after the shattering. As Mephisto twists the waking and sleep realms, causing the two to break by unleashing hell spawns upon Dream's realms. to stop the damage, Dream enlists the Midnight Suns and Spawn to take down Mephisto. And this will be split, like I said, into the two series, Shattered Dreams, which launches the series and the first story arcs in the books that I mentioned previously. And then it ends with Serendipitous Dream, which ends the first story arc and repairs the rift between the realms.
All right.
All right, next one. This is my big one that I put a lot of thought into. Mark already knows about this one. This one's called Betrayal. The main characters in this one are Spider-Man and Wolverine. The villain is the Syndicate Group. Writer is Donny Cates. Artist is Mark Bagley. Love Mark Bagley Spider-Man art.
That's a cool combo.
Yep. All right. So while under the influence of the Weapon X program, Wolverine is set to kill two S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in New York City.
Yeah.
He finds them and kills them in the street, leaving the child an orphan. Years later, Peter Parker as Spider-Man teams up with Wolverine to take down the Syndicate. Right. Taking out a field office, Peter finds files on the hit and learns the truth of his parents' death.
Oh, shit.
The killer is his longtime ally Wolverine.
Follow this could have worked with Batman really well, too.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I wanted to trade. Follow this book to see if they can reconcile and if New York City will survive it.
Damn.
That's my big book.
I think we have a winner. I'm out. I'm going to reveal my lineup.
I like how Eric and I's universe is like, how can we take our favorite characters and make their lives miserable?
That's right.
This is very different than the Peter Parker Wolverine body swapping issue of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Nobody talks about that.
All right. My last mini, I'll try to make this one short because I got the crossover after that. So this next one is going to be called Harvest Moon. This is going to be Moon Knight and Spider-Man team up. Villains are going to be Scarecrow and Hobgoblin. I always thought it'd be really cool if those two teamed up. Writers, Jeff Lemire. Artist is Jim Lee. If Jim Lee can write books or draw books. Overview. As the summer heat gives way to cool autumn air, new threats begin to emerge in New York City. Scarecrow and Hobgoblin team up to harness the powers of the dream realm that have leaped into the real. Can Spider-Man and Moon Knight stop them before they succeed?
Dig it.
All right. Big crossover event. My big crossover event answers your earlier question. This title is called Dark Forces. Oh, it's just called Dark Force. I screwed out the S. Main characters on here are going to be Thor, Green Lantern, Preacher, Wolverine, Midnight Suns, and Xavier's Angels. The villain here is going to be Vader and Galactus. The writer is going to be Ron Mars. Artists are going to be Daryl Banks and Ryan Stegman. Overview. In a galaxy far, far away, an emperor has fallen. His loyal subject lies in pieces, and the victor towers over them. Sensing great power, the victor makes the subject an offer to become his new herald. Vader accepts. The herald is sent to Earth, where he is met by the mightiest heroes. Little do they know, his arrival portends the arrival of Galactus. Can the heroes of Earth unite and defeat the powerful pair, or will the dark force prevail?
That's my now story I see on. How you bring them together.
There we go.
Damn, we really had to build up to that.
That's right.
Wow, man, well, I dig it. I almost dig it so much that I'm afraid of my own lineup now. I used to think I had a good lineup. I'm not even sure what I think now. I love the Spider-Man Wolverine. That whole storyline is brilliant. I fucking love Vader. I love Vader as Galactus' herald. I'm curious how far Vader would take being ordered around by someone, but you know, he was in that role with the Emperor.
I agree.
Too. So, but that's maybe part of where you're going to go with all this. So
that's right.
Fucking love it. The idea of Vader just showing up as a herald of the Galactus is just such a fucking cool visual. So that's some cool shit. What do you guys think?
That Syndicate book was going to be like the top of mine, but that Betrayal series, what I like is like, you know, like I kind of went complicated with mine in order to make them different. And you did that with like the first, like, you know, six of your titles. But like, you know, at the end of the day, and this is what we always say on the show, if you can make a simple story really impactful,
yeah,
that's really hardcore. And as soon as you kind of teed that up with the Spider-Man stuff about his parents mysteriously being stabbed earlier, and then tie it with the fact that you're bringing this together, I mean, that right there, that's the mark of a good story. That is what caught my attention. That's my favorite of your titles.
Thank you,
Jeffrey. What do you think? What do you
like out of this? I dig it. Yeah, definitely betrayal. The crossover event sounds badass. The Blade series, because Blade's great, and I can't wait to meet. What was it, Fecund Drost?
I can't wait to see what he's all about. I think the world is hyped for Fecund Drost.
The Funkos are already in pre-production.
That's right. Next big thing.
What became a joke has now become the whole thing. I take it as a compliment.
I almost wonder if this should be a two-part show, and this should just be the end of part one. I mean, we'll keep doing.
You just want to change your lineup, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, like I'll be back in 3 hours. Yes, I gotta shuffle some things around.
Oh, I want you to know that we have been planning this since September, and when I counted the emails between us all coordinating it,
probably
102 emails.
Yeah, that was quite a bit.
This ends tonight.
I need more time. Well, friends, as it turned out, there actually is a part two next week, unless you are a patron of the Second Print Comics podcast, which you can become. We didn't even mention this in the whole show. I can't believe it. You can become by heading over to patreon.com/secondprintpod for early and complete access to all our episodes, including the SPC Comics draft reveal. But for the rest of you, you got to tune in next week after your Thanksgiving break. Happy Thanksgiving. By the way, come back for part two as we reveal the teams of Jeffrey and myself. Until next time, my friends, read comics, change the world.